Chrissy, over by the wall. Bring me the big knife.
No, Ronnie!
Bring me the big knife! I'm gonna cut my throat!
Maybe I should come back another time.
No, I want you to see this. I want you to watch me kill myself so you can tell my brother Johnny on his wedding day, okay? Chrissy, bring me the big knife!
I tell you, I won't do it!
That's the bad blood between you and Johnny?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, but that's not Johnny's fault.
I don't care! I ain't no freaking monument to justice! I lost my hand! I lost my bride! Johnny has his hand! Johnny has his bride! You want me to take my heartbreak, put it away, and forget?
You got a love bite on your neck. He's coming back this morning. What's the matter with you? Your life's going down the toilet. Cover up that damn thing. Come on, put some makeup on.
All right.
You love him, Loretta?
Ma, I love him awful.
Oh, God, that's too bad.
Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan. Thank you for joining me today. It is Friday. Yes, I love Fridays. I actually hear the birds chirping out there, and they're happy it's Friday too. I wonder if they get a break. Well, some of us do, some of us don't, some of us still work. There's something about Fridays. Well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit today here as we go into our weekend and showing you how to put into practice correctly cutting the word of truth, or rightly dividing the word of truth, as the other versions might say. There's a passage, and by the way, if we do not correctly cut the truth, we will either ignore scripture that we don't understand or modify scripture that we don't understand. Correctly cutting the word of truth is a simple operation. It is practical. You know, some people, when they hear this thing about correctly cutting, they think this is a job for scholars. You must have an edumacation to get that. Well, you don't need an edumacation to correctly cut. All you need to do is be familiar with ingredients. The best way to describe correctly cutting the word of truth is, let's take somebody out there who wants to make a cake. Whether it's a man or woman, it doesn't matter if you're a cook or not. You will make sure that when you make your cake, you do not go into the place where you keep all your ingredients and just grab any one of them or pour them all into the batter to make a cake. No, you correctly cut. You select the right ingredients for your cake in order to make something that tastes good. Well, the scriptures are very similar to that. We do not simply take all of it and seek to put it in practice. That would be impossible. And I want to show you the difference. I'm going to read to you from Matthew chapter 7, a very confusing passage you will either ignore or modify if you do not correctly cut. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, says, "Enter through the cramped gate, for broad is the gate and spacious is the way which is leading away into destruction, and many are those entering in through it. Yet what a cramped gate and narrowed way is the one leading away into life, and few are those who are finding it." Well, most, if you look at that verse, what we're led to believe is, if you take the modern Christian interpretation of this, is that it's hard to get to heaven and only few are going to get there. That's what it's been interpreted as. But let me just say here, if you keep it in its context and you correctly cut, the Lord Jesus in Matthew 4 announced the nearness of the kingdom of the heavens, and that's not referring to heaven. It's referring to a literal, visible kingdom that will be manifested here on planet Earth during the millennium. And the Lord Jesus is referring to getting into that kingdom, which will be located in Jerusalem. And it's a narrowed and cramped way. Now, you and I today are not on a path leading away into life. This passage in Matthew 7 has nothing to do with you or I today, or anyone you speak to. Today the message is a message of justification. I want to read you in Romans chapter 3. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, for all, verse 23, "For there is no distinction, for all sinned and are wanting of the glory of God, being justified gratuitously in his grace through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus." You and I, the very same moment we're sinning and wanting of the glory of God, the very same moment we are justified. There is no works or time that bridges the gap here. The same moment we are wanting of God's glory, we are justified. There is no pathway leading to justification. You and I are either justified or we're not. And for the world out there, the world, we call it the heathen world, whatever you want to do it, everybody you come into contact with, if they are believers in Christ Jesus and his death, entombment, and resurrection, they are justified. If they do not believe it, they are not justified. There's no path leading to it. It's something that happens instantaneously. So keep that in mind. This passage in Matthew 7 is directed to the Jews only. It's regarding their kingdom and their promises. And by the way, in Matthew chapter 8, we read this in verse 10. Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. Now I am saying to you that many from the east and the west shall be arriving and reclining with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of the heavens, yet the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be lamenting and gnashing of teeth. Now notice that. Many shall come from the east and the west. These are referring to probably Gentiles who will be coming and arriving and reclining with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of the heavens. And where is this at? In Jerusalem. One day in the millennium, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be resurrected, and the believing Jews will be in this kingdom, and Gentiles will be coming from all over to enjoy the blessings of this kingdom in a specific place on earth. And yet those of the Jews who are unbelieving are cast out into outer darkness. They're not part of this kingdom. No, they're not in the underworld as religion teaches you. This is a literal passage. And so in Matthew chapter 7 talks about a pathway leading to this. This is referring to a place in the kingdom which the Lord Jesus announced as near. And it's going to be in the land. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are going to be there. And the believing Jews are going to be there. And Gentiles are going to come according to Isaiah 60 verse 1 through 3. Read it on your own. They're going to come from the east and the west, and they're going to arrive in this kingdom and sit down and have a party. Yes, that's what's going to happen, friends. This is not what is referring to us. This is not our calling. Those who are justified today are not on a path leading to anything. They are declared righteous by God, and they have a celestial allotment, and there's no pathway leading to it. There's no works involved whatsoever, no path, no 7 steps, 10 steps, 12 steps, 20 steps, 2 steps, any other steps you can think of. One other passage in Matthew 7, it says, verse 15, continuing, take heed of those false prophets who are coming to you in the apparel of sheep, yet inside they are rapacious wolves. For from their fruits you shall be recognizing them. Now I'm going to say something strange here. This ain't for us either. In Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5, Israel's warned of false prophets, and this is going to be true in the last book of the Bible, the unveiling, the revelation. And now the prophets are the foundation of the church, or the ecclesia, which is his body. Today, the mere claim to personal and direct messages from God is evidence in itself that it is false. Anyone who claims to be a prophet today, it's already false. In Israel's day, you judge the prophet by the fruit. If he gave a message and it came to pass, you knew they were a prophet. If it didn't come to pass, you knew they weren't a prophet. And even if they gave a message that came to pass, if that message that came to pass sought to lead them away from Yahweh, then they knew they were false prophets. You will judge them by their fruits. But today we don't do that at all. The mere claim today to messages from God, apart from the scriptures, to direct revelation, is proof enough that it is bad. Now in Romans 16, I want you to notice this. Paul says in Romans 16, verse 17, now I am entreating you, brethren, to be noting those who are making dissensions and snares beside the teaching which you learned, and avoid them. For such for our Lord Christ are not slaving, but for their own bowels, and through compliments and adulation are deluding the hearts of the innocent. Now, I want you to notice Paul says, don't judge by the fruit, judge by what they teach. If they don't teach what Paul taught them, that's proof that they're off base. See, under the kingdom message to Israel was a pathway leading to life, and they judged the false prophets by their fruits. Today, we're not on a path. We are either justified or not. There's no works or no path. And what is our equivalent to the false prophets? Those who don't teach what Paul taught. We don't judge them by their fruits. We judge them by what they teach. Do they come to you proclaiming the message that Paul taught concerning justification? Do they teach what Paul taught concerning the believer's identification with Christ, Romans 6, 7, and 8? Do they teach what Paul taught concerning the snatching away and the position of the body of Christ with a celestial allotment, not an earthly one? Those are distinctions, my friends, and I hope this was helpful. in your study of the scriptures, remember that we need, if we do not correctly cut, we either ignore or modify scripture. And you can see the implications if we take Matthew 7 and compare it with Romans. If you try to make them the same message, you are in for a big problem here, because then you will make justification a pathway. Justification is not a pathway. It is a fact. It is a declaration of God concerning one who believes in the accomplishments of Christ. Whew! That was a marathon. You know, they should have my Bible. I should put a little sign that says, "Do not seek to operate this while under the influence of early morning tiredness." Boy, this ain't as easy as it looks to teach this stuff. Well, again, I hope it was helpful. It is Friday. I hope you all have a great weekend. Keep studying the scriptures, and keep studying what our apostle taught us in the letters of Paul, Romans to Philemon. I'm going to run now. You guys have a great weekend.